David is bringing some hot water at the moment.
So we're here on Daf Chaf Hey Amid Beis. We started yesterday the Ika Di Amri, and let's just reiterate what's radical here, revolutionary about the Ika Di Amri, and that's going to be Abaye's interpretation of Rava. I'm sorry, Abaye's interpretation of Rabbi Yehuda. And according to Abaye and Rabbi Yehuda, what we're going to come to the conclusion is that Lo Efshar Umachavin is Mutter. Why? Because since, this is Abaye's understanding of Rabbi Yehuda, since Rabbi Yehuda puts absolutely no significant, attaches no significance whatsoever to Miskavin or Lo Miskavin. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Well, so yesterday's team,
Mitch, you back from Wal Buyada? Okay, where were you? Like St. Louis or something? Or
you're not going to believe it.
Don't tell me that you're in Alaska for a second
Tel Aviv.
Round. What?
Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv. Okay.
AACI learning.
Okay, sounds great. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. The only reason I wasn't there is because I wasn't invited. But otherwise,
did you ever see Ben Gurion's library?
No. Is it
in
something?
His house. 20,000
volumes. Wow. Anything of any Jewish content there?
Yeah. Yeah. Jewish section.
I have a picture. It's not the original of Rav Soloveitchik with Ben Gurion. It's a very beautiful picture. Okay, so the radical preposition here of Abaye in the framework of Rabbi Yehuda is that you could have a case where you're miskaven and you're really, you know, you're breathing in the fragrance of the Avodah Zarah incense, and yet it's mutter. And dafka koin to Rabbi Yehuda, we always saw Rabbi Yehuda as the machmir. But the answer is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, kavanah doesn't play a role. We say in Hebrew it's lo maila v'lo morid, and what we're left with is efshar and lo efshar. And according to Abaye, Rabbi Yehuda would apply the principle of lo efshar in order to be matir hano. Now, why is efshar enough to be matir hano? So this we discussed at great length, that hana means not that the hana you receive passively, but that you actively pursue the hana. So when you choose to go down a certain path, then you know full well up front that you're going to have hana by going down that path. That's where the Avodah Zarah smell is fragrant. And if you could have chosen a different path, then why did you choose this path? And the answer is because you are seeking out actively the hanor. That's called lekichas hanor. However, in the case of Lo Efshar, says Rabbi Yehuda, it's true that he's benefiting from it, but that benefit is totally passive. So I need an action. The action here is the halicha. The halicha here is the case of Lo Efshar. He doesn't have another option right now. This is the only way he's going to get from point X to point Y. And going from X to Y means he passes by the idol worship. And that hanoz, Bal Korchu, is coming without a maisa. There's no lekicha. The fact that he chose to go down that path is simply a matter of the fact that he has to get to a certain point. And he can't get there with any other route. As I told you once, the significance of Lo Efshar is expressed by Rabbi Moshe Feinstein in that psak about going through a mixed beach in order to get to an all male beach. Omar Abaye Minah Aminile. How do I know this? Meaning, well, first let's make sure we're all on the same page here on Chavav Amid Aleph. And how many lines down are we going to count? Let's see. Three lines down from the top. Omar Abaye. Now at this point, Abaye has to prove that even in the case of Miskaven, you still could have a heter. Now keep in mind that there's no way that Rabbi Shimon would be a Havamin. There's no way of attributing, if we find such a source that allows Hana in a case of Miskaven, and that's going to be because of Lo Efshar, that must be, by definition, Rabbi Yehuda. It can't be Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that Miskavin is an automatic no-no. Omar Abaye Minah Aminile. Where do I have a source for this very radical position that Rabbi Yehuda would be matir in the case of Lo Efshar, even though he has Kavana Desanya, we learned in a Braisa. Amru Olav, al Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shai Yosef Bitsilo Shel Heichal Vidoresh Kolayom Kulo. So he set up the benches right there outside the Beis HaMikdash, enjoying the shade. It was a hot sunny day from the Kosel of the Beis HaMikdash. And the assumption would be that the Kosel of the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash is Osir Bahano. You're not allowed to benefit from Hegdesh on a personal benefit. Again, even though you might argue he's doing it for the greater good of, you know, being able to teach the whole day, you know, enjoying the shade of the Heichal. But nevertheless, the Gemara thinks that there's an Isur Me'ilah. The Torah says that if you get a benefit from something that's Hegdesh, that's called Me'ilah. There's an entire parasha which we mentioned yesterday about the various dinim of Me'ilah Behegdesh. So what was the basis for the permission that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai allowed himself to enjoy the benefit of the shade from the wall of the Mikdash? The answer must be Hacha Delo Efshar, that even though he's miskamen, he definitely chose to enjoy the benefit of the shade, he could not have survived it in the hot sun, not for that many hours, but nevertheless, since it's Lo Efshar, in other words, he had to be Doresh L'Rabim, that was his job, on the Yontif, Hilchas Achag B'Chag, and there was no other option for him, there was no other place where he could find a larger expanse, a larger area, where he could put down X number of seats, and invite X number of Talmidim, and get the shade that he needed. That's called Lo Efshar. So here I want to quote to you two footnotes of importance. First of all, the word Heichal here in the Gemara is the name of the Heichal, the Beis HaMikdash. The Heichal contains within it the Holy of Holies. Yeshbo HaKodesh VeKodesh Kadoshim. It has what's called the Kodesh, which includes the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach HaZav, but it also includes the Kodesh Kadoshim. In front of this Heichal was something called an Ulam, and that was a an area that was designated for Kohanim who would go in there when necessary, but not to go into the Kodesh Kadoshim. That far they couldn't go in. But let's say a Kohen was on his way to do the Avodah, the Hadlokas HaNer, he would go through the Ulam, and then he would end up inside the Heichal. Now, to the sides of the Ulam, to the right and to the left, there were certain compartments, and this area was so large that it was 100 Amah square. In other words, it was 100 Amah in length and 100 Amah in width. And its height was 100 Amah. That's a Mishnah Maseches Midos. So as a result of this tremendous height of 100 Amos, therefore the tzel of the Heichal, it would create a shade that would expand for a merchak, for a very large distance. I guess mathematically you could probably figure it out. Well, it depends what angle I guess the sun is. The Higia, and it reached all the way out to the Harabais that surrounded the Heichal. Ad Harachov Shalifnei Ahar. So there was like plenty of room. V'bo Rabim L'drosh Azu, and the multitudes of people, of Jews, came to hear Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's drosha. I wouldn't have had to go very far because I live here on Rabbi Meir, which is right off Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So inside, in the Beis HaMedrash where he normally taught, it was impossible to house such a large audience on the Chag. Is therefore Hayadoresh Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had no choice but to go out into the street, and he needed a rechov, a street that would be Mechil Kola Am, you know, Am Rav. And there, and at the same time, to protect them from the hot sun. And therefore, he went out behind the Heichal into this very, very large area which was provided with shade. Asu lehejot lehenos mikodesh Hashem. A person, unless he's doing a mitzvah, like a Kohen, is not allowed to benefit from kodesh Hashem. And that applies, number one, to Dvarim Hamakrivim Osam Al Gabi Mizbeach, but it also applies, and I think we mentioned this yesterday, to Kodshei Bedek HaBayis, even to something that has nothing to do with the Mizbeach. It's not a Zevach, it's just part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's the Issa Me'ilah. And if you violate the Issa Me'ilah under certain conditions, you have to bring a separate Karbon Hasham Me'ilos. Now yesterday, we had a long discussion about what's called Mechuber Lekarka, if you remember. There's no Me'ilah in something that's Mechuber Lekarka. And here, Lechor, the walls of the Heichal is a classic case of Mechuber Lekarka. So here, Tosus invokes a principle called Tolush Ulubisof Mechuber. In other words, these walls and these stones were originally detached, and then they were attached, and they became Mechuber. In such a case, there is Me'ilah. Okay, but here's the footnote that I wanted to call your attention to. Misugyezu Muchach, we can prove from our Gemara, the underlying premise of our Gemara is that Eino Over B'me'ilah Ela B'miskavin Lehenos. Right? The Gemara says that the reason why this should have been a problem, if not for invoking the principle of Efshar, is because he has Kavan. And this is codified by the Rambam in Hilchas Me'ilah, that the pre-condition to violate Me'ilah is that you have Kavanah to enjoy the benefit. And therefore, all of the dinim that we've been learning until now, about Hanoah Bolo Liyolim Bal Korcho, that he didn't seek out the Hanoah, as we discussed, that came upon him, all those dinim apply to Me'ilah. And that's because Me'ilah, like any Iser Hanoah, requires kavana. And the question is, how do we deal with all the various scenarios? Did he have kavana? Did he not have kavana? Even if he didn't have kavana, it was efshar, and therefore that makes it into kavana. All these categories apply. And Rabosa, I say this as an introduction to a sugya, and you're going to remember this, hopefully, when we get to Daf Lamed Gimel, we're going to have a sugya in which the Gemara establishes that with regard to Me'ilah, there's a loch of Eino Miskavin Kimiskavin. That in Me'ilah, there's no such thing as a Ptur Misasek or an Eino Miskavin. You're always chayav for Me'ilah. And that seems to contradict our sugya, because the Gemara is using Me'ilah as a prototype, as a paradigm for the Iser Hanah of Miskavin. Okay, so keep that in mind. All right. Yeah, David, how are you today?
Thank you, very good, thank you. Well, wouldn't anybody bringing a korban based on Bikdash inherently get Hanah from the process, even seeing Hashem's presence so blatantly
right.
obvious?
So that's okay for the Kohanim who are bringing this, or for that part of the korban that you're allowed to eat. Yeah. But if you're not in, directly involved in a mitzvah, but you want to benefit from it for your own purposes, that's going to be me'ilah. That's going to be prohibited. Okay. Now, let's go back to the Lishna Kama for a minute. If you remember, the Lishna Kama had one basic premise, and nobody questioned this premise. There was no shita that argued. Namely, that in the case of miskaving, that's an automatic oser. And now the question arises, according to Lishna Kama, how do we understand this case of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Bishleim, according to Lishna Basra, Abaye invokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai as a proof that Lo Efshar is Matir Miskavi. But in the Lishna Kama, there was no one, not Abaye, not Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Shimon, everybody agreed that Miskavi is an automatic Oser. So what do we do with this brisa of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? And the Gemara doesn't even raise this question. He says the following, Yesh Lomar. Shagmara lo hikshus azos al lishna kama kevon shi dona ata b'lishna basra. He says the following, that whatever answer, what we call a dechio, when the Gemara rejects this proof of Abaye, that's going to be an answer to protect the lishna kama. But eino chinami. The lishna kama would be very difficult at this point. The Gemara could have taken a pause, press the pause button, and say, well, what are we going to do with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai according to Lishna Kama? The Lishna Kama, nobody even dreams that you could have a miskaving situation which is mut. And the Gemara didn't do so because the Gemara was focused on Abaye's revolution in the Lishna Basra. But Enochinami, when the Gemara rejects Abaye, that rejection is going to be a reconciliation of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai with the Lishna Kama as well. All this is true before the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua lived about 2.5 centuries ago. And he has a radically different approach. He says the following. Lishna Kama, according to Lishna Kama, Sover Abaye, Shalo Efshar Umechavein Mutter L'Rabbi Yehuda. When Abaye says that Lo Efshar is Mutter L'Rabbi Yehuda, that's Abaye not only in the Lishna Basra, but even in the Lishna Kama. I, the Gemara says in the first Lishna, Hakol Modim Sha'asur. The word Hakol Modim, that phrase, is a reference to whom? To Rabbi Shimon. But not to Rabbi Yehuda. So what we thought was the radical breakthrough and the revolution of Rabbi Yehuda, of Abaye in the Lishna Basra was accepted, according to Abaye again, even in the Lishna Kama. Wow. This is the radical approach of the Pnei Yoshua. We have to rewrite the whole table of yesterday according to the Pnei Yoshua, because we assumed, I'm looking at the table right now, that according to Lishna Kama, everybody says it's Osir in the case of Miskaven. He doesn't even have a footnote here. He says that Miskaven is Osir according to Lishna Kama, according to everybody. But that's without the Pnei Yoshua. Okay. Now, we said that this case of Rabbi Yochanan, because he had to set up the benches outside the Heichal, is a case of Miskaven. Right? Now, think about the following. Not only is Rabbi Yochanan himself guilty of Miskaven, again, when I say guilty, I mean in inverted commas, because again, since it's Lo Efshar, Abaye says that's why it was there. But anyone who went there to participate in the drasha, all the audience, they also are in the same situation of miskaven. Why? Because they too want to get benefit from the shade. And therefore he says that when the Gemara raises the question of miskaven here, the Gemara's question is equally applicable to Rabbi Yochanan, to any member of the audience who came to participate in the shiur. And he says the following. He says, Kol mi shaholach l'sham, l'shem kach, anyone who went there in order to sort of protect himself by the shade of the heichal would have been a miskaven. Now it says in the Braisa, Shahoye yoshev b'tzilo shel heichal. Is that in the singular or in the plural? Singular. Hayu Yoshe. If it's in the singular, then who's it referring to? Rabbi Yochanan. So the question now arises: Why did the Braisa say Amru Olav Harab Yochanan Ben Zakkai Hayu Yoshe? It should have said Amru Al Kol Hamishtatvim B'Drasha Zu, that they were Yoshvim B'Tzilo Shel Heichal. Why does it say Yoshav B'Tzilo Shel Heichal? So he answers here in the footnote, based on Rabbi Lozer Moshe, who I think, if I'm not mistaken, was the Rav in Pinsk. I don't know if you ever heard of a city in Litva called Pinsk. If I remember correctly, don't quote me on that. He says the following, that Rabbi Yochanan's situation was very unique. Because if you take a look at the Braisa says, Hoye Yoshev, etc., Vidoresh Kol Hayom Kulo. The Rabbi Yochanan had in mind to darshan during the entire course of the day. And therefore, what happens is that the sun, when it moves, you know, from one point to the other, from east to west, is always going to, in some sense, surround Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, there may have been people who would situate themselves in such a way that they weren't directly below the direct ray of the sun, but Rabbi Yochanan was in the ray of the sun. Let me read it one more time. He says that it says here sheyoshav b'tzel heichal kol hayom kulo v'kevan shatzel sovev l'fi maharech hashemesh behechrech shekedei l'sheves b'tzel hayamatik mimokom l'mokom b'meshach kol hayom. Do you follow what's going on here?
He has movement in his chair.
Exactly. Excellent. In other words, as the sun moves from east to west, the exposure to the sun changes, and the shade offered by the heichal is no longer, you know, is no longer. So he would have to, let's say, if he's on the, let's say, he's on the eastern side, then during the early parts of the day, right, he would have. He would get less shade, and he'd have to move over to the western side. And when the sun moved towards the west, he would have to remove himself from the west and move to the east. So the Braisa goes out of its way to mention that Vayoshev v'dorish kol yom kulo, because for Rabbi Yochanan, the halicha during different parts of the day is going to be a miskaven. That's called miskaven. Now, the reason why he's moving his chair is because he wants to enjoy the shade. In the case of the mishtatvim, it's a lot less clear. You know, they I guess the first one to get the seat, then he came in the morning. He would grab it on the side where there was shade, etc., etc. So it's not clear that the mishtatvim would actually go and locate themselves in a place where they'd enjoy the shade. But in the case of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so says Rabbi Elazar Moshe, he would move his chair from place to place. And that act was a clear demonstration that he was miskaven. Rava Omar Shiny Heichal. There's no problem of Me'ilah here at all. And the whole premise of Abai is incorrect. The letocho hu asui in meila, or for that matter, in any Isra Hanah, there's always a principle called kiderech hanaaso. Kiderech hanaaso means that every object is designated primarily for a certain form of hanah. And although obviously the walls of the heichal provide shade and protection, but that's in terms of the purpose that it was designated for, is for the litocho. Litocho means for anything that was going on inside, which might mean to protect the kalim, it might mean to provide shade for those who are working on the inside, because imagine if there are no walls, or more likely, we don't want to be distracted by people going by. Any sort of protection that was provided by the walls of the heichal was for the inside of the heichal, not for the benefit of standing and getting shade from the heichal on the outside of the heichal. So this is called shelo kederech hana'aso. And if it's shelo kederech hana'aso, then there's no violation of the Isur Me'ila. And therefore your premise, Abai, is absolutely incorrect. Now how do we know that the Isur Me'ila depends upon kederech hana'aso? If you recall, we had two categories of Isuri Hanah. We had Isuri Hanah that were derived from the word Achila, right? Let's say, for example, Chametz would be a classic case, because it says Chametz lo se achel. And then we had Isuri Hanah, like Basa B'Cholav would be a prime example, that are not derived from the word Achila. Nowhere does the Torah say that you're not allowed to eat Basa B'Cholav. And the difference was as far as Shalom Kederech Hanah also. So we had a sugya before, Bravashi, about Klai Akerem, and Klai Akerem says, Ki Tikta, Pen Tikta Shamalea, it doesn't say you're not allowed to eat Klai Akerem, but from the fact that the Torah requires Sreifa to burn Klai Akerem, we know that it's Osir Bano. And therefore, Klai Akerem would be Osir even Shalo Kederach Hana Osam. Because when the Torah says Achila, Achila always has to be Kederach Achila, the Ragil, the way we normally eat it. And if we're going to derive Hana from Achila, Achila becomes a catchphrase, a secret password, a code word for all Hanah, then just like Achila requires Kederach Achilasan, so too the Hanah derived from Achila has to be Kederach Hanasan. But when the Torah omits the word Achila, then it's also, and the Torah tells me it's also Hanah, it includes even Shalom Kederach Hanasan. Now let's go back to the case of Me'ilah. Does Me'ila, does the Torah use the word Achila in the context of Me'ila? If it does, then we understand Rava very well. But if it doesn't, then Me'ila should apply even if he benefits from Hegdesh Alokid Derech Hana'asa. So for this, we have to take a look at Tosus Divra Maskel Shaini. He opens up by saying, Ein Hana'as Tzilo Neseres. That Abai's point, that Rava's point is that there's no Iser of Hegdesh, of Me'ila, in the case of Shalom, Kider Hana'aso. The Imtomar, but if you'll ask, Halok Siv Achila, the Torah nowhere says, thou shalt not eat Hegdesh. There is no such pasuk. So now, the question is, why shouldn't Hegdesh be treated and classified the same way we said in Klai Akerem in Abbas B'cholov that Hanoz also even Shaloki Darko because the Torah never says Achila. V'yesh Lomar, and Tos says it does say Achila in Me'ila. But wait a minute, we just finished saying it doesn't say Achila Me'ila. So the answer is we have a Gzeres Shava between Me'ila and Truma. That's called Chet Chet Mitruma. And that's a Gemara that we're going to get to later on, and it's in other places in Shas as well. Ubetruma ksiv achila. And we take the word achila from truma, and we place it into the parasha of Me'ila. Now we had a similar discussion, and I'm trying to remember, what was the Gzeirah Shava? Does anybody remember where we had a similar discussion? Means it's time for Chazorah, right? So let's go back to Daf Chav Dalet, and let's see. It was by Klaya Kerem. Where was it? It was either Klaya Kerem or Orla. That's what I tried to remember. Where's the sugya of oh, here it is, on Chafei, right? Chafei, on the top of Chafei. We started with Orla, and then we got to Klaya Keren. Okay, now, what we have here is, there should be a Gzer Shova here, to Nevela. Where is that? Just 1 second. Oh, Lahachi Gagamar mi Nevela. Do you remember that Gemara about Nevela? That we can derive the Isra Achila and Basa B'chala from Gzeres Shava from Nevela. Nevela here means Trefa. So there's Gzeres Shava between Trefa and Basa B'chala. Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the Anshei Kodesh Tirin. You remember, in two contexts, the Torah says that you have to desist from eating something because of Anshei Kodesh. And the word Kodesh appears both in the parasha of Nevela, which is Trefa, Anshei Kodesh Tirin, and also in the parasha of Basar B'chola. So the Gemara says that based on this Gzeirah Shava, we're going to derive the following conclusion. Ma Nevela Derech Hana'asa. You're not allowed to eat Nevela, if it's the derech, meaning the derech achila, is af bas b'cholav derech hana'aso. So we see that when you derive something from Gzeirah Shava, it's going to teach you that you need kiderech. And that's what Tosfos says, that since it's Gzeirah Shava, chet chet mitruma, an equation between hegdesh and truma, that truma is also b'achila for zar, non-kohen. And therefore, if the non-kohen eats the truma, he's got to eat a kiderech achila. So, because the Torah used the word achila in the context of truma, so too, with regard to me'ila, based on this gzeirah shava chet chet, you only violate the isa me'ila when it's kiderech hana'asa. That's Tosfos. So the heter hana'a min atzel, according to Rava, is because it's hana'a shalo kiderecha. Now, if you remember, we once discussed three different shitos as to the status of shalo kiderech hana'asa. Like, let's say, for example, if he were to benefit from Orla by putting it as a salve on his body. One shita says that he's potter from Malkus, but he violates an Issa d'oraisa. So the other shita says it's mutal chatchila. In the middle we had a shita that says it's asur min rabbanan. Now here Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai deliberately sat there enjoying the benefit of the shade, because as Rava, it's shalo kederach hana'osam. But that makes sense if you hold that shalo kederach hana'osam is mutter. But according to the other two shitas, let's take the middle shita, the compromise shita, middle of the road shita, that it's osam in rabbanon. So how can Rav Yochanan Zakkai enjoy the benefit of the tzel shel heichal based on shalo kederach hana'osam when he's violating an isa d'rabbanan? How could that be? How could that be allowed? So he offers one answer, and he says, "Kevan shu isa d'rabbanan lo nesar b'mokom d'lo efshar." Even Rav agrees to Abaye that lo efshar could be matir, but only in the case of a d'rabbanan. In other words, Rava claims that Abai went too far. Abai was willing to say that even on Nisa Doraisa, we can apply the principle of Lo Efshar to be Matir in Nisa Doraisa, and it's like an Eina Miskaven. But Rava said, I will accept your position in case of an Nisa Dorabonin. So be Nene from the Tzelo Shel Heichal, since it's Shalo Keder Chanosim is only a Dorabonin, and since it was Lo Efshar, therefore we can be matir a d'rabbanan. Again, this is not going to work if you hold that shalo keder hana'osim is osim d'oraisa, because then, according to Rava, there's no heter of lo efshar. So this sugya really seems to prove quite conclusively that the iser in the case of shalo keder hana'osim in the worst case scenario would only be an iser d'rabbanan. But here we have an unbelievable chiddush of the Ran. The Ran wants to say the following, that eino chinami, it would have been asur for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to do this, even shalo keder hana'osam, but litzorech harabim, for the sake of the mitzvah of teaching Torah to the rabim, Rabbi Yochanan was matir iser hana'a shalo kederech hana'osam. So there are two ways of understanding. Either we're going to say that this shalo keder hana'osam removes the iser me'ila completely, or we're going to say that it does remain shalo keder hana'osam as an iser d'rabbanan, but for the tzorech of the Talmud Torah d'rabim, there was a heter to be nene from the tzelo shel heichal with an iser hana'a shalo keder hana'osam. And now we have a chiddush of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says the following. There are two categories of shalo keder hana'osam. One category is where the quality of the hana'a has not changed. It's the same quality, but it's just the method changed, that you're doing it in a way that's unusual. The other way is to say that it's shalo keder hana'osam means it's not, qualitatively, it's not called a hana'a. So I'll read to you his language, and he also finds this in Rabbeinu David, who was the Talmud of the Ramban. He says, "Ein hanos silo nechsheves hanos klal." That what the Gemara really means to say here, what Rav is saying, is that if you get definite benefit from the walls, something that's substantial, that could be an iser of me'ilah. But if you're getting something that's not substantial, it's not tangible, it's a hanos tzel. Hanos tzel qualitatively is not a hanon. In such a case, even min rabbanon, it's not also. So we now have a third approach as to why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, according to Rava, was allowed to gather his talmidim. One approach is to say that shalo kederach hana'osam in this case is mutal lechatchila. The other way of saying it is that shalo kederach hana'osam would normally have been also min rabbanon, but here, for the sake of Talmud Torah d'Rabim, they were matir. And the third approach is to say that Rabbi Yochanan, even according to Rava, holds that lo efshar is a matir, but lo efshar is a matir only as far as an Issa d'Rabbanan is concerned. Oh my Rava, what's the proof that I have that in the case of Miskaven, it's also automatically, even in the case of lo efshar? V'snan, because we have a Mishnah, this Mishnah is in Masechta Midos, and it says the following, Lulim, Hayu Psuchim Balias, Beis Kodshei Kadoshim. They had, in Hebrew it's called an Aruba. Aruba means a skylight, meaning they had an opening in the roof. And that was on top of the Kodesh Kadoshim. Now, why would there be a way of opening the roof to the Kodesh, the roof above the Kodesh Kadoshim? And the answer is it had a definite function. Shebahem mishalshalin es ha'umnin b'tevos. You know, this reminds me of my children have a sukkah. They live in an apartment building on, I think it's like the fifth floor officially, but it's endless. It's like, takes me 10 minutes to get up to their apartment. Anyway, it's just, so on sukkahs, they put their sukkah in the chatzer. You know, there are a number of sukkahs there for different people. But the problem is getting the food down to the sukkah, because you have to go up and down and up and down. So what they did is they set up on the shalshalin, but they have like a pulley system, you know, where they put a box with a rope. I mean, literally, I'm not making up a story. Gershon thinks I'm making up a story.
Well, I've seen it.
So that's what they do. They send it down, you know, because otherwise you'd have to go up and down. So it's really cute because they send out this big sal, and somebody catches it, and then whatever we have to take out of the sukkah, we put in the sal and it goes back up. So what happened to the Kodesh Kadoshim, they had to get the workers down because there was a crack in the Kodesh Kadoshim in the wall. And what they would do is they would put a human being inside this cabin, you know, with a pulley, and there was an aruba, there was a skylight, and then from the roof they would lower a person down in this cubicle. And why would they do it so? Because they shouldn't have kavana to be nene from the beauty, the noi of the Kodesh Kadoshim, because that would be me'ila. Me'ila, by enjoying the beautiful, shall we say, the artwork, the grandeur of the Kodesh Kadoshim. Okay? Now, says Rava, what's going on over here? This is a case of lo efshar, meaning forget about the mishalshalin. Forget about it. You can circumvent the need for mishalshalin and let them go straight into the Kodesh Kadoshim. You're going to tell me that there'll be nenev with re'iyah? Ha ha ha! Lo efshar v'kama chamed. According to you, Abaye, this certainly should have been mutter, at least according to Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, because here, even though they have kavana, they're looking and then they're beholding the beauty of the Kodesh Kadoshim, but nevertheless, it's lo efshar. Why is it lo efshar? Because they have to get into the Kodesh Kadoshim somehow, by hook or crook, in order to be metake in the Kodesh Kadoshim. V'hokamachavin, and they have kavana to be nene. And it's also, and the only way we're going to allow to do this is a way in which they won't even see the Kodesh Kadoshim, because they're going to be lowered in this cabin through the pulley system. So the Gemara now rejects this proof of Rav. V'tizvara means, do you really believe that what they did was, and this whole system, this whole sophisticated system of Mishalshalin, was done because of an Isa to avoid a serious Isa, Mi'ikar Adin, it was also no. Omar, we have a statement of Rav Shimon ben Pasi, of Rav Shimon ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapora. Kol maravirech ein bahem mishum me'ila. That there are three sense perceptions which, if they benefit from hegdesh, will not be a violation of me'ila. These are not tangible hanos. One is kol. Kol means if I enjoy the sound of the levim hamishorim, because they have beautiful, beautiful voices. Number two is Mare. We had a Gemara today in Megillah about a Levi who has a kol over and he's posled for Shira. He's not allowed to be a Meshorer. Question is whether he can be a Meshorer. That's a different question. Then we have Mare. Mare means looking at the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash was a gorgeous, beautiful edifice. And a person would look at it and he would benefit from it. Reach means when a person would smell the ketores. Is aimed by a mishum meil. So let's go. Let's focus on mara. You're worried about these workers because when they go in to fix the kodesh kadoshim, they're going to be overwhelmed by the beauty of the sight of the kodesh kadoshim. That's not meila. So therefore, Rava, the whole premise upon which you're building your castle is a non-starter. You're saying that there's an Iser here that has to be avoided, and that's why they're going to do this whole mishalshel in business. No, there's no Iser that has to be avoided, because kol mara v'reach, with the emphasis on mara, ein bohem mishum me'ila. So therefore there's no violation of an Iser me'ila when they enjoy the benefit of the sight and the grand appreciating the beauty of the base kodesh kadoshim. There will be no chi of karva me'ila like we discussed as a karva me'ila. This is called ha'anah she'ein bo mamish. It's not tangible. So the chachamim might have said, well, you're not allowed to enjoy the benefit of kodshim even in kol marav areach. Maybe that might be an isur d'rabbanon. But as far as the umnin, these workers are concerned, who are coming to fix the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Chacham didn't have to be matriach with such a tircha gedola of ishtalshelus betevos. And the answer is that you're misinterpreting this halacha. This halacha is not predicated on the ikar adin, according to the din of violating me'ila. Therefore, if it's miskaven, even if it's low efshar, it's also no. This is not based on the ikra din. Ella maila osu bebeis kodshe kadosh, meaning there's a mitzvah called mora migdash, to be in awe of the beis hamigdash. Right, you're not allowed to go in there in sandals. You're not allowed to go in there with your money bag and put it down, or with a stick and so on. Also, with regard to the kodesh kadoshim, insofar as it reflects a greater level of kedusha than the rest of the beis hamigdash, the mitzvah of mora migdash is even more increased. Mora migdash is relative to the various levels of kedusha. There are 10 levels of Kedusha, the highest of which is the Kodesh Kadoshim. And therefore, Maila Asu Bebeis Kodesh Kadoshim, in order to instill in the people an awe of the Kodesh Kadoshim, they would not allow these workers to go down in the normal way, because they would inevitably enjoy the benefit of the grandeur and the, what word can I use? It was just absolutely overwhelming. What do you say? The splendor. So therefore we can't derive any conclusions here about what Isurim do we have to avoid. Like in the case of Lo Efshar, we still have to avoid the Isur. No. Here the reason why they did this whole enterprise of Mishalshin was because of Maila Osubes Kosh Kadoshim. I guess you can call it an educational enterprise. We have to educate the people. We have to train them. We have to instill within them in their hearts an awe of the base Kodesh Kadoshim. And how do we do so? By not allowing workers just to go in there. Like, imagine if you were a worker and they sent you in there, right, to fix the Kodesh Kadoshim. So you're banging away with a hammer, and at the same time you're enjoying the beauty of the Kodesh Kadoshim. The Gemara in Yuma speaks about the grandeur and the splendor of the Kodesh Kadoshim. Well, what do you feel? You know, you feel like it's accessible. You know, anything that you can see is accessible. That's what tznius is all about. The yisod of tznius is to be makadish something, to sanctify it. And it no longer becomes, immediately accessible. It's behind, like, what would you say in our world is the highest level of Kedusha? We don't have a Kodesh Kedoshim today. What would you say is the one object that has the highest level of Kedusha? The Sefer Torah. Now look what we do with the Sefer Torah. First of all, we do Galila to make sure it's always closed, except when we read it. It's always got to be closed. Nobody can see it. Secondly, we put on top of it what we call a mantle, right? What's it called in English? I don't even know.
Cover.
A cover, okay. Sefer Torah cover. Then we put it into the Aron. And then we cover over the Aron with number one, walls. And number two, on top of that, we put a Peroches. And all this is because of tznius. Tznius meaning the holier it is, the less accessible. For example, I don't know if you know this, you're not allowed to touch the veil of a Sefer Torah. Did you know that? Because again, it becomes too accessible. It almost, I don't want to use the word, because it almost like cheapens it. So in order to create this awe for the Kodesh Kedoshim, we're not going to say to the worker, oh, just go in there with your hammer and chisel away and fix the Kodesh Kedoshim and enjoy the benefits. We're gonna make a special extra harchaka, and that's called Mishalshalin be Aliyah's base Kodesh Kedoshim. So this is called Maila Osu. Where else do we find Maila Osu? This has to do with Kohen. We have a mitzvah of Vikidashto with regard to Kohen, which means that those who are not Kohen have to treat the Kohen with special Kedusha.
Absolutely.
All right. Don has no problem with that. And therefore, Don, we're going to call you up for the first Aliyah. I mean, that's just one example. If all things are equal, you're going to bench in the Zimun. And many other expressions of the Kedusha of a Kohen. The Kidashto is a separate mitzvah. So here we find Ma'ala Osu B'Kuhuna. There's a whole sugya, Masechta Ksubos, about who a Kohen is allowed to marry. And there may be situations of Safek where perhaps we could allow the Kohen to marry this woman, but Ma'ala Osu B'Yuchsa. As far as Kuhuna is concerned, like, have you ever heard of an Asufi? A Sufi, there used to be a book about this called the bamboo cradle. I don't know if you ever heard of it. You know, they find a child that was abandoned, and we're not exactly sure what the yichus of the child, what are the circumstances. So maybe there's mamzeris here, and therefore the people were embarrassed, so they let the child. I mean, the Gemara goes through all sorts of different. A Sufi is miloshen osfin. They gather him in from the shuk, from the market. The baby left on the abandoned baby. So the Gemara says that a Kohen should not marry such a girl who is an Asufi. Why? Because of Maila Asu B'Yuchsin of a Kohen. Here also we have Maila Asu B'Veis Kodesh Kadoshim, that he shouldn't be Nena Mimenu in any way, even in a method that would technically be Mutter. Okay. Now it's interesting that the Gemara calls it Base Kodesh Kadoshim. Why did the Gemara add the word base Kodesh Kadoshim? So I suspect, again, this is just Berzon talking, that the word base here is a reference to the word base Hamigdash. Now, a base Hamigdash is a place where Hashem rests his abode, so that it becomes his abode, the Shekhinah comes down. But in the case of the Kodesh Kadoshim, which houses the Aron, and on top of the Aron, the Kruvim, that's an even more intense Hashras HaShechina, because there, the Shechina communicates to Moshe Rabbeinu, in the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's not coincidental that in the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Kohen Gadol can't enter except for one time during the year. And even during Yom Kippur, he can't go in, unless he's going in for the Avodas HaKtoris, but otherwise there's no Heter. And there's a Chazal that say that even the Malachi Asharis are not let her enter into the Kodesh Kadoshim. It's really a private place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there are two concepts of bias. There's the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that's the general, I don't want to use the word diffused Hashras HaShechina, but it's Hashras HaShechina that is more accessible. And we can have contact with the Shekhinah, and that's where we meet the Shekhinah. And then there's a base Kodesh Kadoshim. That itself is a Beis HaMikdash unto itself. And that's already a private place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this earth. And only once a year can the Kohen Gadol with the highest level of Kedusha enter into that intimate place where Hashem is there alone and have that encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what I don't understand about this Gemara, and please, if you can set me straight, I'm being honest with you. I'm asking a child's question, but I don't know the answer. Why is this whole discussion focused on the umnin who are coming down, you know, they're being lowered down through the Aruba into the Kodesh Kedoshim to do the tikkun? What about the Kohen Gadol? I mean, he himself goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim once a year. Does he not benefit from the beautiful sight of the Kodesh Kedoshim? It's
full of smoke.
It's full of smoke. Well, hopefully it will be full of smoke, but not when he goes in there, I hope. So I don't know. I'm just raising the question here. You know, we didn't tell the Kohen Gadol to go blindfold. You know, that'd be a little dangerous.
You see, he's so holy that it's kavod.
He's not a miskaved, baby. Maybe he's not even a miskaved to be nene. It's possible. Ika diamri. We're up to the Ika diamri of Osai. Now, at this point in the presentation, the Gemara wants to say that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that we just quoted about Kol Mara Vareach, is the proof that Rava brings. And as, until now, we quoted Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi as a question on Rava, to be docha, to deflect Rava, and say that Rava, how can you claim that this is an Isur that has to be avoided? It's not an Isur that has to be avoided, because Mara does not lend itself to Mila. Ika diami Amar Rava mino aminile. My proof is from Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, is dafka from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says in the name of Kapar Kol Maro Vareach Ein Behem Yishu Me'ila. Me'ila hu deleka ha'isura ika. And here, Rava is Mechalik, this is like a brisket Tzvei Dinim. There are two Dinim in Me'ila. Me'ila camouflages two Dinim. You think it's one Isur Me'ila? No. The Isur Me'ila has Me'ila into it, but it has also an Isur Hano, a separate Isur Hano. Let me try to... How are we doing on the clock? Okay, we have a few minutes. Let me try to embellish this idea of two dinim in Me'ila. In order to be chayav for Me'ila, you have to have what's called a hana hashava pruta. Now, this is very fascinating. Normally, in Kol Tarkula, the shiur is kezayis or kebeitza, and drinks and liquids it's kerevius. But with regard to Me'ila, it's shava pruta. I'll try to explain why. It's a very unique halacha that only applies to Me'ila. However, as far as Isur Hanah min HaHekdesh is concerned, even less than a Shava Pruta would be a violation. What are the fundamental differences, or what is the fundamental difference between Me'ila and the Isur Hanah from HaHekdesh? Me'ila means theft. HaHekdesh is considered an ownership. Hegdesh means they own, it's the greatest, company in the world, you know, the greatest corporation in the world. There's a corporate ownership of Hegdesh. And a person who benefits from something that's not his, but rather belongs to some, to the other, in this case the other is Hegdesh, he is a gazla. However, what's the shear of gzela? What's the minimal amount? It's a shava pruta. Less than a shava pruta is not gzela. Now, again, that's a complicated halacha in and of itself. It requires a lot of study. But let's just accept it on a very superficial level. Oh, so if me'ila is an iser of gzela, me'ila is to Hegdesh what gzela is to Mamon Hejot. It's an exact equation, and therefore the shear is identical to Shava Pruta. Then the Isur Hanah from Hegdesh is a whole different concept. The Isur Hanah from Hegdesh has nothing to do with my stealing from Hegdesh. I'm not taking anything from Hegdesh. For example, I hear the beautiful sounds, the voices of the nightingales. Who are the nightingales? The Levium, right? The Levium. My Rebbe was a nightingale called Soloveitchik. Soloveitchik in Polish means a nightingale because he was a Levi, right? So I love the sounds of the Levium. It's like even better than Shlomo Kalbach. I love it, right? And I'm enjoying the sounds. But what do I take away from it? Have I stolen anything from Hegdesh? That's Isur Hanah. That's not Me'il. Mare, I see the beauty, I behold the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh Kadosh. Have I stolen anything? You know, how many people have seen the Mona Lisa? By show of hands, how many people saw the Mona Lisa? Really beautiful. Ooh. I waited online to see the Mona Lisa. I was so disappointed. I said, this is what I came all the way to Italy to see, the Mona Lisa? It's France, ugly. France. To France, I'm sorry, to the Louvre. To
That's
see
why
the...
it didn't look so good. Yeah, right.
And I went to the wrong country. There you go. So I'm not stealing anything when I look at something beautiful and behold its beauty. And the same applies to Reach. Again, Reach is a little more complicated because there are certain particles maybe in the air that go into my nose, you know, but that's not stealing. So that's called the Isur Hanah. That's what Rava says. Look at Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wants to point out that kol ma'avareh is not gzela. You're not stealing from Hegbesh. But it's definitely asur. And if it's definitely asur, then I understand very well why we had to roll, you know, roll these workers down through the Aruba, the Kodesh Kadosh, to fix the Kodesh Kadoshim, because they might violate the Isur Re'iyah. And that Isur Re'iyah is an Isur of Hanom and Ahegdesh. Oh, but you'll ask me a Abai's question, it's Lo Efshar. So you see from this, a Lo Efshar become a Chavin is also. So this Lishna Basra gives us a whole different spin on Rava's proof. Rava's proof was not from the Isur Me'ila, but rather from the Isur Hanna. My love, Liosan Aum de Bifnim, de Lo Efshar v'kamachavin v'asur. He says the following, that when it says that a person is not allowed to have kol maravareh, any benefit from Hegdesh, who is it referring to? Who's included in the Isur Hanah? Shouldn't we assume that this is for Osan the Kohenim Omdim Bifnim, de lo Efshar? Ah, interesting. You see, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was not necessarily discussing the case of the umnim that we spoke about, who are coming to fix the Kodesh Kadoshim. He was discussing people who were listening to the Shir Salavim, people who are enjoying the inside of the Beis HaMikdash, maybe they were smelling the Ketores. These are called Osan HaOmdim Bifnim. Now, the Kohanim, when they go inside the Mikdash, and they hear the Levium singing, or they see the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, or they smell the odor, the beautiful fragrance of the Ketores, why did they enter into the Mikdash, these Kohanim? Did they do it for the sake of enjoying the benefit of Kol Marav HaReach? They did it for the Avodah. So since they did it for the Avodah, that's called Lo Efshar. Lo Efshar means they have no other choice. Where else are they going to do the Avodah? There's only one place in the world where you can do the Avodah. But we're afraid that they'll start enjoying these things, right? These kol maravareh, kol machaveh. And says Rav Shimon ben Pazi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Yeshua ben Levi, asur. This is a problem of isur. Now again, I'm not sure exactly at this point in the conversation how we're going to solve that isur problem. I guess, I don't know, I'm hoping that I'll get a better answer, but right now my answer is that they'd have to make a special effort to overcome that natural tendency of enjoying the smell, and they would just have to sort of distract themselves by focusing on the avodah, such that the hanov, kol maravarech, would come behesach hadas, would come sort of inadvertently, but not with any intention. But in any event, what Rav Shimon Levi is saying is that if they did intend to have this Hanah, they would violate the Isur of Hanah in a Hegdesh. Not Me'ila, because there's no Me'ila in these cases, but there is an Isur Hanah. So we see clearly Rav Shimon ben Pazi presumes that there's an Isur Hanah even in the case of Lo Efshar. And again, Rav will say, why is this called Lo Efshar? Because the Kohen have to go in for the Avodah. Very good. So the Gemara says, no, there's no proof. Lo. That's not what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had in mind. But rather, Li'osan ha'omdim bachutz. In other words, there were people who were standing outside the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know if they were Kohanim on their way in, but they were outside. More likely, they were even Yisraelim. Again, keep in mind, the Yisraelim could go through the Shara Nikanor, as we discussed on Shabbos, if you remember. And they could come pretty close to the Dukhan where the Levium would sing their songs. Right? They couldn't go past the Ulam into the Azorah. I mean, the Azorah was divided into two sections. There was the Ulam, and then there was the Azorah where the Mizbeach was. Only a Kohen could go in there. But there were plenty of Yisraelim available that were pretty close, right outside the Azorah. So they could certainly hear the Levium. There were certain aspects of the Beis HaMikdash that they could enjoy. And therefore, they're violating the Yisrael Norman Hegdish. That's what Rav Shimon ben Pazi is nervous about. And in this case, these Yisraelim cannot be classified as low efshar. In the case of the Kohanim, who have to go in there, they have no choice, that's where they have to do the avodah, that's one thing. But in the case of those who are owned in Bachutz, they don't have to be there, and they're going to be nenem in a hegdesh, enjoying all these dimensions of kol marav v'reach, and therefore, that's going to be a violation of the Yisrael Noah, because even though there's no chiv me'ila, because it's kol marav v'reach ein bo mishum me'ila, in these three cases he's not stealing anything from hegdesh, but nevertheless he's benefiting from hegdesh. And this is a case of efshar u'mechaven, right? He didn't have to be there, he situated himself in that area and he wants to hear the Levim sing and enjoy that song, and therefore Rav has a proof that there's no heter to have this hana, even in a case of I got distracted. What I mean to say is the Gemara says that Abai has no problem with just one second. So there's no lo efshar. And if it's not a low efshar case, so now I got it. Sorry, that Rav Shimon ben Pazi is saying I have a problem with those who are omdim mibachutz, because those who are omdim mibachutz, it's not a case of low efshar; it's a case of what efshar. And since it's a case of efshar, therefore Rav Shimon ben Pazi says that this is going to be a violation of the isur, because now we have both conditions met. It's efshar v'kol mechaven. That's what Rav Shimon ben Pazi is pointing out, and therefore these people should be warned against situating themselves in that place. Now he writes here, let's just see, we don't have much time, so I'll just kind of read this very quickly. He says, "Legabi hanos reach haktores, medubar shem mekarvim es atzmon la'azor." They get close to the azor, they're outside of the azor, maybe they're not even allowed to enter into the azorah, but they moved close to the azorah in order to be meriach, in order to get the smell from the ktores. If they didn't situate themselves in a very close way that they could smell the ktores, ein isur. Shalom benkach ubenkach hayaholech. Okay, it doesn't tell you exactly why he was motivated to do so. Is reach ktores hayim ispashit b'chol Yerushalayim. Right? Do you remember this Gemara? That a woman,
they didn't have to have any.
A woman in Yericho could her begadim would have a beautiful smell from the ktores. The ktores went, the smell went miraculously went all the way as far as Yericho is concerned. Or, for example, a kala in Yerushalayim area, anywhere in the vicinity of Yerushalayim, would not have to use what's called bosem. How do you call that in English?
Fragrances.
To dress up for the chasa, because the reach haktoris was so powerful. So it comes out the following, that im eino makarvim atzmam. So you could enjoy the ktoris from a distance. That smell again permeated throughout a very wide radius of area. But if you want to go closer, then that's already a case of efshar. There was no one forcing you to get closer. Im eino makarvim atzmam, and they're enjoying the benefit, is ein isur. Why? Because wherever I'm going, I'm going. I'm not going there to smell specifically to smell it. And that's called hanoah bolo liolda bal korcha. There's no lekichas hanoah here. Correct? But if on the other hand they go close to the azara, that's called efshar. That means nobody forced them to go that far. So that's called osana omdim mibachutz. And even Abai would agree in this case it's asur. Why? Because it's both Efshar and Komachami. So Rav and his Havamina, when he brought this proof, he thought we're talking about the Osam Omdim Bifnim. That's the Kohanim who go in for what? The Avodah. They are in a status of low Efshar. So why did Rav Shimon ben Pazi have to make such a big deal about it? That they have to be careful. After all, it's a case of Lo Efsha, and according to Abayi, Lo Efsha Kamachavit is Mutter. So what was Rav Shimon Pazi's objection here? Why was he saying it's Asur? So Gemara rejects it. No, we're not talking about those Kohanim who go in for the sake of the Avodah, but rather we're talking about those who are outside, who could have smelled the Ketores from a distance, but they wanted to come closer in order to enjoy the full brunt of that fragrance. That's already called Efshar. And here's where Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi put his foot down. And he said that even though Kol v'mar v'rei ain ben Yishuv ben Ila, but nevertheless the reach that he enjoys is going to be also b'toras Yisr Hanah. And if it's Efshar, says Abaye, then for sure it's also. So we'll stop over here on the word Gufa. I wish everyone a great day. If any questions, please ask me now. And I'll see you, Mr. Shem, same time, same station, tomorrow.
It's interesting that the name Yericho could be from Rea.
Ooh, that's it. That's brilliant.
I heard that before.
Yeah? You came to that on your own, or somebody points that out? Wow, very good. I like that, Kesh. That's a brilliant idea. That maybe Yericho is Miloshen Reach, that they smell the Reach of the Ketores as far as Yericho is concerned.
So why don't we say...
You see from this Gemara, by the way, that a Kala doesn't have to smell better than anyone else. She just has to smell good. So if she was anywhere in the vicinity, she got the benefit of that fragrance, even though everyone else got the same benefit of the fragrance. The main thing is that she shouldn't smell bad, she should smell good. Does anybody know how many different samamonim, how many different herbs or were used to comprise the...
Yeah, we read that every morning, but I don't remember.
11. The 11 herbs.
11.
Right.
11 except...
Does anybody know how many times daily they brought the Ketores?
Twice.
Twice again. Yom baboker uba erev. And the making of the Ketores itself is called Pitum HaKetores. That's what we read from the Sphinx.
366 times.
That's why I kind of know it.
Why do you add a 6, you mean?
That's why I do it.
Because of Yom HaKippur?
That's why I said
365 plus the extra
twice a day.
I think it's 366. I have a question on the
I
kind of remember. Yeah,
but wait a second. I'm just confused about one thing. Again, the Kohanim certainly fit in the category of low Efshar, correct?
Right.
And Rava thinks that nevertheless there's an Iser. So what exactly is Rav Shimon ben Pasi saying according to Rava? So I suggested that maybe he's warning them that they shouldn't have Kavana to be Nene. Does anybody have a footnote on this? Because I don't see anything here in my footnotes.
About
again, the Rava's Havamina before he was rejected was that the Kohanim are the subject of this Isur of Rav Shimon Pazi, that they benefit from Kol Mara Reach, and Rava wanted to prove from that even though it's Lo Efshar, but nevertheless, it's also Kosa Mechamin. So what exactly does Rav Shimon ben Pazi recommend? I mean, the Kohanim have to go in there for the Avoda. Is there a footnote there?
I'm trying to look.
Take a look. Somebody must... it's forbidden for them to intend to enjoy this.
And then it says, the assumption is that Bar Kapara statement is universally accepted and thus can be used to demonstrate what Rav Yehuda would hold in such situations, which is... the issue and dispute between Abaye and Rava. Abaye could have responded, however, that Bar Kapara is following the view of Rav Shimon, whereas Rav Yehuda was permitted.
Right, okay, that's a more complicated. But I think, Asha, that might also address a little bit your question, that even if you're in a situation where there's Kol Marav HaReach, we're going to still enjoin you from having an intention to benefit from. So the Kohanim are going into the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of the Avoda, and Rav Shimon ben Pazi is warning them, he's picking up his finger, and he's saying to them, be careful not to intend to benefit from it.
Right.
And the same thing might apply, you know, in the case where you're getting shade. Okay, you're walking by, you're going to get the shade, but don't have an intention to enjoy the shade. Something of that.
Yeah, this is where I think... I even have difficulty with it. You know, how you know, I don't intend to do it, but I can go ahead and do it anyway, as long as I don't intend to do it. But how can I turn my head, my brain off and say, okay, I'm not intending to go
ahead. How do I control? Do I have self-control?
Anyway, you know? So it's a difficult thing to do, and it's a difficult concept, at least for me, to cop. You know what I mean?
I think the answer might be, you know, the role of the intellect in the human psyche, meaning we see things as sort of happening and benefits that we enjoy, and, you know, it's almost like a musish musi. The Gemara is saying that on an intellectual level you can say to yourself, I don't want to take this benefit. You know, if I have to, if I'm benefiting, yes, but I'm not intending to seek it out.
You know, right. So if you're saying,
like
if you're saying
mind over matter,
if you're saying the primary intention of the Kohen to go in is to do avoda,
right,
then he's not intending, even though maybe somewhere in his psyche, he knows he's going to smell it, he's going to hear it.
He has to repeat in his mind, I'm doing the avoda. That's
right.
What I'm here.
So that's the focus that he has.
Exactly.
That's the focus. The muscles that when you do something, you should be so focused on it that, you know, I mean, I remember in the Rosh Hashanah, like, you know, he would be giving shir, and then somebody would ask him a klutz kasha, and he goes, you're asking me a klutz kasha, you're making my back hurt. But it was true.
Because it distracted him.
It distracted him, and then he'd feel the pain.
Right.
I remember.
Well, Ralph does it a little bit. He says, I'm on this one, I can't think about that one.